For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Vikings, come out and play.
Now listen to the Believe in Vikings podcast with B-Mac and Baker.
This is Believe in Vikings. I am your host, Dustin Baker. I'm here with Brian McKinney, Sally from Minneapolis, Ron from Eden Prairie. That's the usual group tonight. Well, let me start off by saying about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, we had Roy Williams, the wide receiver, on from the Lions and the Cowboys. Tonight, we have Roy Williams, the safety, from the Cowboys and Bengals. The Vikings play the Vikings play the Cowboys on Halloween night. And so we are going to speak to Roy Williams about some of these Cowboys related items. He played for Mike Zimmer for a year or two. We're going to get into that. And that's what's on the agenda, a night with Roy Williams. First, we're going to talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline has a new web interface for the start of the basketball season and has more prop bets, odds, lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive 50% off your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code BLEAV to receive your first welcome bonus. BLEAV for your first welcome bonus. For example, Kansas City Chiefs are kind of at a low point this season for both their wins and losses and their Vegas prognostication for winning the Super Bowl. So if you still believe in the Chiefs, the odds have dipped substantially down to, I think, the plus 1,100, plus 1,200 money line range. So if you dropped $100, you could still win over 1,000 if you think they'll win the whole damn thing. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are joined tonight by Roy Williams, the safety who played for the Dallas Cowboys and Cincinnati Bengals. Roy, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm great. Life is good.
Yeah, you're smoking the cigar. I don't know how many folks see this on video versus the audio, but you got a fat cigar going.
I most definitely do. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Excellent.
Is that just your lifestyle, or are you celebrating being on the podcast?
I'm doing both, actually. Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. I respect it.
Thanks for the shout out, Miss Sally. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, Roy, the Vikings and Cowboys hook up on Halloween night. And the first thing I want to ask you is the Cowboys are favored by 2.5 points inside the Vikings stadium. And that, since it opened in 2016, is a pretty tough place to play. So I'm wondering, with your expertise, does it surprise you at all that the Cowboys are favored?
I'm not surprised that they're favored, just because of the way they've been playing. And we don't even know if Dak's going to play or not. So, I mean, that is kind of shocking because we don't know if Dak's going to play or not. But I'm not surprised. But, I mean, people – don't get it twisted. I mean, the Vikings are coached by Mike Zimmer. That's my coach. That's my guy. I mean, he's a spicy coach, man. And his defense, they're going to take that as a challenge, you know, and they're going to do all they can to try to stop, you know, that three-headed monster with Cooper and CD and Ezekiel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, Ron, what do you got for Roy tonight?
All right, Roy. Nice to meet you. My name's Ron. Hey, Ron. So you were known as in the box safety, just laying the lumber, just right up there. And in today's NFL, a lot of guys, I envision kind of your style of play, they get moved to linebacker. And Keanu Neal, the player for the Cowboys, is a perfect example. You know, he came in the league as a safety and now is middle linebacker. And I understand it from the pass standpoint, but what are your thoughts on why this is continuing to happen and kind of that development in the NFL? And would you essentially be a linebacker in today's era?
What do you mean? Why does it keep happening?
What are your thoughts on why, like, what is the benefit of moving those guys into those positions of linebacker rather than letting them kind of have a little bit more freedom to roam, kind of like how the way you played and the way Harrison Smith plays currently for the Vikings?
Hey, well, the days of how I used to play are non-existent now. This is an extinct animal now, you know? So, but I mean, in their defense and why they're moving them into the linebacker, don't you want to have your best players on the field at all times? So, I mean, if they're deep in their minds in the secondary, why wouldn't you move a guy that can help you, you know, why wouldn't you allow him to help the team, you know, better their chances of winning on putting them on the out of linebacker? I mean, he's doing a solid job, you know. I mean, hell, he was doing better than probably some of the people there before him.
Right. And I don't mean like as a detriment to Keanu Neal and his style of play, but for example, like, you know, him at safety, you know, he was a Pro Bowl caliber player, at least before injuries hit him in Atlanta. And Jalen Smith, and I can't say I watch every snap of Cowboys football, but, you know, you have him, you have Leighton Vander Esch, and so you have linebackers. And if Keanu Neal was at the back end as a safety, that to me, in my mind, again, I'm not a coach, I never played defense or offense for that matter, but I feel like getting the best players on the field would be him in that safety spot to go with those linebackers. So then you're not not necessarily weak against the run, but you can kind of have that versatility and that size. And, you know, in my mind, I was just kind of wondering why it's transitioning to just because a guy weighs 230 now, like he's pegged as a linebacker rather than, you know, like yourself where, you know, I put you at safety and, you know, play more 4-6 than anything else. But that's kind of what I was alluding to.
Yeah, but you can't play the game like I played back in the early 2000s. I mean, hell, it's sad now because safety, corner, linebacker, they get a big hit. The first thing they do, they're looking around, see if they got a flag. That ain't football. You know, the intimidation factor of being a strong safety or a big hitting safety is not there anymore. You got little receivers like Tyreek Hill coming across the middle, acting like they're big stuff because they know they can't get hit. When I played, they were like, I'm not going in there, you know, so.
Alligator arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely, 1,000%. So it's the game has changed. So
I think I've really come to the determination on your point, Roy, that I think that the test for referees is if the hit looks violent. That's when the flag comes out. Like even ones where they lead with their shoulder and they just level the dude. If it looks brutal, boom, there comes the flag. And I've just started to get used to it, that when you see a sweet hit, it's just going to be 15 yards and it sucks.
And that's sad. It's sad. It's sad. I mean, that's not football. I mean, I don't know. I grew up watching Ronnie Lott and Steve Atwater and Darren Woodson and Jack Tatum. So, I mean, how I tackled, I basically copied their method of leading with my forearm and trying to take somebody's head off. That's what I grew up on. And I loved it, you know, and you can't do that now. It's just, it's the game I see on TV now is totally different from what I grew up
with. Amen. Sally, what do you got for B-Mac or for Roy tonight?
Well, since Roy kind of brought up how the game has changed, I know after you had already started playing professionally, they outlawed the horse collar tackle. They even named it after you. How did it feel having it named after you? And how difficult is it to alter your play that suddenly when you've been playing that way your whole life?
I'll go back. Being a young kid, growing up, wanting to play for the Dallas Cowboys and then having an opportunity to play for the Dallas Cowboys, I was a kid living out a dream. So I enjoyed every moment of my time in Dallas and with Cincinnati. So, I mean, it was a joy. And then on top of that, to have a rule named after me that just doesn't impact the NFL, but impacts college and literally football. Like, I made my mark. I truly did. I mean, yes, that tackle hurt some people. I don't take pride in hurting people because that's messing up somebody's livelihood. But I perfected a way of how to tackle people if they got outside and, you know, they got a little far in front of me. I was able to grab them. And right when you get them in that behind the shoulder pads, you can control them. Like, you, it's like having the reins of a horse. You take them anywhere you want to. And so, I mean, I perfected that tackle. And it's like a plumber having his favorite tool being taken away from him, saying that you have to do it a different way. You can't use that tool. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I got stripped of things, how I self-taught myself how to tackle. And when I was in positions, I would set them up and make them go a certain way. And then I would just reach out and grab them. I wasn't able to do that anymore. And that was a big part of my game when I was closer to the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, it just starts sucking the joy out of the game for me when they tell me I have to play it this way, you know.
How do you, like, adjust your mindset that quickly, though? Because obviously the game is moving so fast, and it's got to just be second nature for you at that point, right, to tackle that way.
Yeah, it was second. I mean, I literally self-taught myself how to tackle that way from 8 years old. And then when I'm in my adolescence or when I'm an adulthood, they're telling me I can't do that. Like, I've been practicing and doing this play thousands and thousands of times, street football, organized football, whatever. And now they're saying you can't do that. And that's why after they changed the rule, and they changed that variation of the rule of the horse collar like about 8 to 10 times. I mean, there was like, you can't grab from the back of the jersey, or you can't grab inside the shoulder pad. You can't. It changed so many times. So it was confusing. And I asked, like, how is a defensive player supposed to tackle somebody from behind? And they never gave me an answer for that. So, but whatever. I made my impact in the league. I got a rule named after me. And I mean, I got to live out a dream. Like, I truly did. So I have no regrets.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna switch topics for a second to go off more of an NFL question. I'm gonna start with BMAC. This is random, but what the hell is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs? They have the best player in the game. They're allowing too many points. When you tune into a game, they just look like imbeciles. Do you have any theories as to what's going on with the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, you kind of already said it. You kind of like went towards their defense, aren't really like holding teams to like a certain amount of points. So you can score, like, you remember when in Minnesota, we were number 2 offense, but we had number 32 defense. So
defense
can't stop anybody. It's hard to win games.
I remember. Roy, what about you? I think if folks were into gambling, this is the best time possible to bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, because their stock has tumbled. Yes. Do you think that they'll rebound realistically, or are they really just a mediocre team?
They're playing mediocre. Their star player isn't playing at the he's not outplaying his contract. Let's just say that. And that's no disrespect. Right now I think they have like 17, 15 turnovers. So he's not willing his team right now. He has to play better. And once he plays better, he can get the ball into his playmaker's hands to, you know, make those plays. And the defense has to step up. I mean, they got to look in the mirror and do some soul searching and be like, yo, look, I'm tired of giving up these, you know, these big plays, or, you know, missing tackles or not making an interception, whatever. But something needs to happen on the defensive end too. I mean, it's just not one, it's not just one person. It's everybody. Everybody's not playing well, and it looks like they're okay with it right now. Whatever, you know, I'm just like, we won a Super Bowl, you know, but I don't know if that's the case or not. But that's the vibe that they're giving off.
Oh, yeah, it definitely looks like that. And each game that I watch, I wait for them to turn it on because we've seen it from them so many times in comeback fashion. Like, oh, they're down 24 to nothing in the playoffs. The Texans, who gives a shit? They'll just figure that out in one quarter. And they did. But that hasn't happened yet. And I wanted to bring it up on this show because a lot of our listeners are going to be obviously Vikings fans and Cowboys fans. And this is exactly what happened last year to the Vikings and Cowboys. They the Cowboys started hot with Dak looking, you know, superhuman. Defense was garbage, and then that's what happened with the Vikings, is that they had productive offense, and then the defense just couldn't quite figure out. But this year's different. Both teams, yeah, you know, they show down this Sunday, are looking a little bit better. All right, Ron, what's next on your list for Roy Williams?
So I do kind of want to go back to, again, we don't need to get into all the rule changes and everything, but you played in that era where there were a lot of changes that happened on the defensive side of the ball primarily to kind of gear the game towards offense. Now, being in that era, and again, I understand the player safety side of it, like helmet to helmet, crown of the helmet, I get that, but it seemingly makes the playing field uneven for the offense. And Tom Brady even alluded to it a couple months ago, saying that the game kind of rewards poor quarterback play, because now you don't have to worry about Roy Williams in the middle of the field, they'll lay out the receiver, because there's going to be a penalty every single time. Now, do you think that is a fair way to kind of, I guess, officiate the game? Because now, like, I get the fans want the scoring, but now it's putting you guys at a disadvantage, and, you know, players like Bryant on the offensive side, maybe all for it because yards are yards, but how does it feel being on defense and knowing that any little thing, like whether it's the horse collar or any type of helmet or head contact, is going to draw a flag?
This is, I mean, you just got to come to the understanding now that it's an offensive league, and good defense doesn't get rewarded anymore. When I say good defense, I'm talking about big hits. I mean, hell, Arizona Cardinals, Texans.
Kyler Murray, the roughing the passer. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Can't even tackle a guy.
And Kyler's my guy. He's like, oh, you do, you know? And I'm just like, I was like, that is not roughing the passer.
You know, well, that should be called the Aaron Rodgers rule, because that's the only reason why that came about.
So it's difficult, you know, to be able to watch and not just cringe at, you know, because not that it's a 15-yard penalty. Now he's going to get a FedEx in the mail and he's going to lose money. You know, that's not right for a clean hit. Like, it was a clean-ass hit. So, I mean, it's just – And then to answer your question, it's tough. I don't recognize the league, and it's just, I know people adapt and then they learn new ways, but I mean, the ways, it's when you're not able to go 100% on the field, there's a strong possibility you may get hurt, you know? So, I mean, they're putting their, it's just, it's a fine line. And I hope, you know, that they're able to, balance that, because it is tough, because there are a lot of opportunities where guys are going in for a tackle and the receiver is falling down. He is in perfect tackling position, but the receiver's helmet, hits the defensive back's helmet, and it's helmet to helmet. Like, how can you call that? You know, they need to have reviews for that, and they need to be able to justify why they're going to take some money from a player, knowing that they are doing everything right.
It's almost like common sense has kind of gone out the window when it comes to a lot of these officiating rules, even in terms of like running backs. So you can't lower your head. So Adrian Peterson, like, he's going through the line. Like, is he just supposed to stand upright at a 6'2" frame and let him get hit in the chest? Like, exactly. It's like almost like the taunting penalty now is kind of brought back into that level to regulate the offense. The Iowa State kid over the weekend who, man, you know, don't, not doing anything, going into the end zone, high stepping a little bit.
And his back was turned to the kid when he was doing a little whatever he was doing.
It's
Bryant, it's pussified. It's pussified. It's not cool.
Bryant, where do you weigh in on this topic as a offensive player and some of the rule changes over the last decade that are pro offense? Do you share the same sentiments as Roy, or do you, are you more on the safety
side? Some of the things that's pro offense I'm with, but I feel like the big hits and everything we all grew up off of. So you like to see that. And it kind of made it exciting, you know, even though, I don't know, made it exciting. Just seeing the big hits like a Roy Williams or Sean Teller, seeing those guys out there hit. And it just was exciting. So now it takes away a little bit of the excitement. And I just feel like it makes the league a little softer.
Yeah, Roy nailed it, that when there is a big hit, you have to hold your breath rather than get up in excitement and say, ooh, mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're saying, oh boy, are we good?
Mm-hmm.
And that's emphatically different from the 2000s and before, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, there should be the ability to at least challenge it if you see that it's not an accurate call. At least I think so, anyway.
No, I get that, but it'd be so tough to try to challenge that.
Well, I just mean the absurd ones, like the Kyler one, or I know there was one where Matt Stafford was like hitting like the pinky early on in the season, like stuff like that are not like true to the rule.
I get it. I'm for it.
And then Bryant, I know, you had the reunion over the weekend for your team, and Sean, you guys all wore the Sean Taylor jerseys. He had a very similar playing style to you, Roy, where, and we had Jonathan Vilma on a few months back or last year even. And he said that his game might not play in today's NFL, and you're penalized for being big and strong, I guess. So maybe that's why the Xavier Woods of the world, being 5'11" and 200 pounds, those are the safeties that you're seeing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give y'all a fun fact real quick.
Roy Williams is part of the reason why I had to hold out.
Oh boy.
Excuse me. See, I wanted to start asking what the heck you guys' history was.
You got your contract done before me. He was number 8. He got his contract done before me. And if I can try to say that he got overpaid, I was like, okay.
That ain't your problem.
So I helped you get some more money, right?
You did. I got to hold out for it.
Well, what's messed up though, Big Mac, though? I lost money because I was supposed to go 6 because Cowboys had the 6th pick, and then they traded back to get, they got 2 picks. They got Derrick Ross and Jamar Martin, Ohio State guys. Okay. And so they traded back 2 slots. That's it was yourself and
Ryan Sims
that went to KC, and you went to Minnesota, and then I got at 8 with the Cowboys. That going back 2 slots, I lost a couple of mil.
For the Cowboys, did the Cowboys communicate with you that they were taking you regardless?
No, they did not. When I seen the guy run on stage, if I remember right, from Kansas City, and Kansas City is going to take Ryan Sims. I'm like, whoa. And then here comes the guy for Minnesota, comes up, gives the thing to commissioner, Brian McKinney, number 7. And then I get the call from Jerry saying that, hey, we just made a couple of, Jerry, Will, and Dylan. You know, he's never seen a bad deal in his life. So he made a deal, and he told me, and it was cool. It was an amazing, amazing experience. The only thing that I would say I wish would be different, I wish it would have allowed us to be able to go to New York and experience being walking on that stage and shaking the commissioner's hand. I think that year, I think they only let like 3 or 4 people go to New York and do that. And I missed out. I truly did.
Yeah, BMAC talked about that before. They put him on commercial flight like that night, right?
Right after.
Yeah.
Well, you had to fly right to Dallas, right? Right after, right?
No. Oh, okay. I didn't want
to.
Right,
if you got drafted, you had to fly right to Dallas.
No. So I was in Oklahoma when I had got drafted, and then Jerry was like, "Hey," when he called me, he was like, "My plane is at the airport. We're gonna fly you out." So I rode on Jerry's G4.
Excuse me.
Right. No. Here's the kicker, though. Had my family out. Out there was my mom, dad, grandpa, uncle, sister, my little brand new baby nephew. So they flew us out on the G4. We did the media, got to see my locker.
Oh, the whole family went.
Yeah, it was a G4. Like
it was just me.
Okay, but here's
I got whisked away from my family.
Here's the deal though. They put me back on a propeller plane, dude. It was so worse. Like we were just going like this the whole time. though I was like, please, Lord, just let me make it, get off this damn plane. It was like the honeymoon was over after the first one. It was bad. It was all bad.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
It was horrible. I literally was sweating and crying. Not I was terrified. I've never been on a plane that small. It was a propeller plane. I've never been on a propeller plane.
And how far is the flight?
It was like 30, 45 minutes.
Oh, that but still, seems like but still.
Forever. That right. seems like forever when yeah. You're hitting all turbulence.
It's like one of those little wow. puddle jumpers that you hop from yes. island to island in Hawaii.
Yes.
I don't even yeah. know if Red McCombs would do that to you, B-Mac. I don't know.
He sent me on Northwest at the time.
Well, I know. I remember Northwest.
But Tice would have to raise the money to get it, too.
So. Yeah. He'd probably trade to Randy Moss all over again.
Have to have a GoFundMe. Yeah.
GoFundMe, help me get my first round draft pick here. God. That probably did happen. So how else? What do you guys do? Do you guys hang out? What's the story here?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, that you guys.
We went to Africa. Bro, you was to Africa, right?
Yes, we went to Africa.
Yeah, Pros for Africa.
Yes.
We went to Africa oh. together for Pros for Africa.
We dug
it was like an OU thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, we dug water wells.
Yeah,
we provided sewing machines for Sister Rosemary's school. We built houses. Started the foundation for building a school out there.
We did hearing aids.
We did hearing aids, the Starkey's hearing aids. Amazing, being able to give the gift of hearing, and that Minnesota. They're a Minnesota company too.
Yeah, Starkey's
Minnesota.
So. I mean, the gift of hearing for the first time and it's life changing. If I can ever encourage you guys to be a part of something, I would say try to do Starkey's hearing missions because I mean it is life changing.
Wow. To see somebody be able to hear for the first time.
Yes, and I guess and take it further than that to hear your voice for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Those videos of babies hearing for the first time, hearing their mother's voice or whatever, like yes. that's always.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. Some people just need their ears clean.
Yeah, for real.
Really?
They didn't need a hearing aid. They need their ears clean.
Yep. They didn't. They don't know no better. I mean, there were people that had sticks about like this long. They just kept on scratching the air and it just kept on breaking and they kept on going in the air. Then there were kids with half. Alive bugs in their ears, just
right.
Bobs of wax just build up. I mean, it's just, it's sad.
It's like a lot of different situations.
It's sad to think about all the stuff we kind of take for granted or overlook that they just need. You know? So,
when did you guys go there?
2010.
Oh. That was my 2010 was my fourth trip.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's and guess what I realized? So whatever team doesn't win the Super Bowl, there's t-shirts over there.
What did you say? Know that.
That's real?
What did he say?
That's real.
We thought that was so just a meme.
Whatever team doesn't win the Super Bowl,
that is not. They get that the is not. Go ahead,
man. Yes, it is. We've been getting them the shirts of the team that didn't
win. No, I said go ahead. Say what you're saying.
Oh, the shirts.
The t-shirts. The Super Bowl shirts go to the losing team. Shirts go to Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's four different styles of Vikings ones down there. I might need to go thrifting.
Damn, Sally with the burn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're new here.
It's the life we live being Minnesota fans.
So Roy, about 20 minutes ago, you said Mike Zimmer was your guy, and he's been our guy for 8 seasons now. So tell us why he's your guy.
Coach understood how to play me within the defense. My first year was no mistake on why I played the way I played my rookie season. I mean, I had, I don't know, almost 100 tackles. I had 5 interceptions, sacks, all that. And because Mike Zimmer knew how to play me within the defense. And then we had I was Campbell our first, and then we had Coach Parcells, and Parcells wanted to. He first came in was like, you're not going to be a one-dimensional safety. You're going to put me back cover 2, 14 by 2. I mean, and Zim didn't like that. Zim wanted me to play close to the line, and I just created a bond with coach Zim. I mean we had some, I'm gonna say, heated discussions, but he knew how to fire me up, like get me going. And I thrived off that because of my previous coach, Mike Stoops at OU, now at FAU. I love and respect him, Mike Zimmer. When he left, when he left and went on to Atlanta or wherever he went after that, my heart broke because there's no greater feeling than playing for somebody that believes in you, you know, and just trusts you. And Mike Zimmer was that for me. And then when I got let go by the Cowboys, Mike Zimmer was there. But, you know what? They don't want you. I want you. I always will cut for Mike Zimmer, his family, my family. I was a 20-year-old when I got drafted there. And I just bonded with him, his family, his wife that has now passed. I was one of the pallbearers in the wedding in Cincinnati. I said wedding in this funeral in Cincinnati. So, that's my family, you know what I mean? And he's a hunter. That's my guy.
If you got the code to the ranch in Kentucky then.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
Yeah. He's got kind of that persona as a stubborn hard ass. How does that mesh with players? Does it most of them get along with it? Some of them think he's a prick, or what's the deal?
I don't know, because I've ever since middle or like elementary or little league, I heard cussing. I got cussed out. So that's nothing new to me. Here's the thing. Coach is going to push your buttons to see how you respond. If you can't respond to his criticism, how are you going to respond to the media, the fans, and the pressures of playing in the NFL? You know, it's just, he's literally trying to test you to see how you can respond. He's going to push you. No, here's the thing. As Mac and I know, when a coach is on you and trying to push you because he sees your potential, it's the time when coach doesn't talk to you and he's quiet is when you got to start worrying about your livelihood and your job.
You're on your way out.
So let me tell you something. I had one coach. I ain't going to say his name. He's still in the league. May have won a Super Bowl last year or not. How more clues you want to give us? But no, like one of my coaches said, he was like, look, I'm going to get you before they get me. And what he means is, if you're stinking it up on the field, I'm going to cut you and get you off my team before they cut me and say it's my bad. So it's just like, so you got, that's why you always got to bring your A game each and every game.
Now, Brian, I'll pivot to you on this because we just got kind of Roy's sentiments on it. Other than, I know we've talked about the differences from Tice as well as Childress and kind of what their personalities brought out in you. But is there, like, on the offensive side as well, being a lineman, you kind of get that same thing, whether it's from a head coach or a positional coach or just a coordinator, that they are, like, we obviously understand that they're looking out for themselves before you, but do you get that same thing as far as the, not coddling, but the being talked to in a way that they're trying to get the best out of you? They're not necessarily trying to agitate you to turn you against them? Or is that just a Zimmer specific type thing?
That might be a Zimmer thing, but I just know Coach Tice was our head coach, but he took the time out to come sit with me because he was a former O-line coach and was like, here, I'm gonna make your job easier. I'm gonna teach you this. Do this block, like block it like this. I understand you have O-line coaches trying to teach you, but I know how to make it a little easier for you. And he just took that time, you know, from him being the head coach to having me come down there and sit with him and watch film on Fridays and go over different things. And he said, ain't nobody going to yell at you because I'm the head coach. So just do this and you'll be fine. So he made some of the technique. He taught me some technique and he made my job easier. The difference was some of the technique that I learned from him when Coach Childress came in, his guys wanted to change it, but I felt like it helped me. So it was like they wanted to change it, reinvent the wheel, basically, because they want to feel like they're coaching you in some aspect.
Okay. And, like, is that also, like, this, like, say a backup might be different, but is it, if they're not talking to you and not, like, trying to push you or whatever, is that kind of the start of the end?
I feel like he's seen I had potential, but he probably felt like I was going about doing things the harder way when it's certain things, it's certain like techniques I could, you know, do, make it a little easier. So he just wanted to show me like some ways to get the job done without having to be so stressful. And I feel like by him seeing that potential in me, that's why he took the time out and had sat down with me one-on-one to show me things.
Okay. Why do you think that new coaches come in and want to change stuff like your technique? Do you think that's just an ego thing, or do they genuinely think they know a better way?
I think it's the ego thing, and you're hired to do something, so they want to come in and feel like they're changing and teaching and bringing something to the table, I guess. But at that point, I was kind of comfortable in what I was doing. So you kind of battle back and forth because you know you got to watch film. So sometimes you do what you naturally know, and sometimes you kind of want to do what you're taught just so you don't have to hear anything in the film, in the film room.
Hey, Roy, these the 2021 NFC East, besides the Cowboys, basically looks like the same garbage 2020 NFC East. All teams not named Dallas Cowboys are 2-5, and the Cowboys are up in top with a healthy Dak and a better defense at 5-1. So, they should be able to beat up on the Eagles football team and Giants. Do you consider these Cowboys in their current form a Super Bowl contender?
I think they're a Super Bowl contender. I mean, look what they did week one, even though that they lost to Tampa Bay. They played them good, you know. And so they're not playing down to their level of competition. I heard your little nice little jab at my NFC East division.
Well, I thought you would be on board with it since you dislike the rest of them. If you do want to make jabs at the Packers, we're here for it.
No,
yeah, please go ahead.
No, I'm not. I have respect for all four players and teams because I mean, people really don't know the work that really is put into the display that is out there on Sunday. So I mean, I respect everybody because the shit ain't easy for real. But I think the Cowboys are contenders. I hope they're not peaking right now, and I hope that they can just keep status quo all the way through the end of the season.
What about the, I guess, paradox, so to speak, that's going on with Trayvon Diggs, where he's this absolute playmaker that's intercepting passes and scoring touchdowns, 10 days ago, but then his pass coverage is a little suspect. Will eventually that catch up with this Herculean playmaking? Because we don't usually see that. It's either one or the other or neither.
Yeah, the league is a copycat league. So, I mean, if Diggs is giving up plays or catches in a game, and an offense coordinator or a team is scouting that or seeing that the week before, they're going to run the same play to see if he'll bite on it or give it up again. And there he's going to have to try to – I mean, he's going to have to stop it probably about 3 to 5 times before they'll stop to pick on him at that – I mean, doing the same play. And Diggs is, I mean, he's playing well. I mean, guys give up plays, give up some passes, but, he's making some great plays right now. And, I mean, he's riding that wave.
Yeah. That interception pace that he's on is incredible. I don't know if it's sustainable in, you know, getting one every game, but it's absolutely incredible. And if it did continue, he would legitimately need MVP votes because it's just crazy how many he's getting.
Yeah, no, 1,000%.
And then so kind of sticking with that defensive theme here, like the Cowboys offense obviously is potent. They're one of the best in the league. They have weapons all across the field, and their offensive line is still fantastic, even without Travis Frederick the past couple of years. But do you think that, say, in the games that the offense struggles, do you think that this defense has improved enough and is good enough to win games for them, or are they just kind of a great complementary piece to that offense?
If you had asked me that last year, the year before, I would have said yes. But now I feel that the defense can make the win. I mean, I think the defense now can make the winning play if put in that position. Yes.
And Randy Gregory's kind of like, you know, a perfect example of, I know he's seems like he's been in the league forever now, off the field stuff and back on it. But man, he looks like he's playing at a different level right now and gives that that edge rusher that they've sorely lacked, you know, without when Lawrence has been hurt. So, I mean, they're a terrifying team on paper. So we'll see what happens Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Oh, I know. This is the first time at US Bank Stadium that the Vikings have ever had a home game after a bye week. For some reason, in the last 5 years, they always send the Vikings on the road. So these fans are going to be antsy for football, and then it's Halloween night. It's against America's team. The place is just going to be rocking. Sally, we got time for a couple more for Roy. Do you have anything for Bryant or Roy?
Well, I don't know. Should we stick with football or should we talk about life?
Do whatever you want, Michelle.
Let me ask one more Zimmer question, because I know that's what the Rubes want to hear. So you talked about so we all know that Zimmer came from the Parcells coaching tree. You hear about it like every week. And I think that people say that a lot of his defensive philosophies come from Bill Parcells, but you're saying firsthand that when Parcells came in, it actually changed the philosophy quite a bit. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, yes, I can. Zimmer is more of a 4-3 guy. Parcells mm-hmm. is more of the 3-4. And mm-hmm. so I can see depending on your personnel on the team, you got to play your best players at the best spot. So you got to mix it in like what Zim did with Parcells. He mixed a little 3-4 with a 4-3. And so putting your best players in position to win, I mean, that's the main goal. Regardless if you were against it before and now you're for it. I mean, Minnesota has some phenomenal rush guys. I mean, and they got a good secondary as well. So, you know, just changing things up. I mean, I'm pretty sure Coach Zimmer has taken some of the, you know, tricks and trades that he learned from Parcells. Who wouldn't? Parcells is a legendary coach. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure that, he's probably cherry picking, Coach Parcells' terminologies.
I think he also cherry picks some of his personality at times, that just kind of gruff, like, I'm not going to answer that because I don't feel like it type of persona. And some of us love it. I love it.
Yeah. I'm sorry not to interrupt.
No, okay.
Whenever I would see his wife, Miss Vicky, she would tell me anytime that, you know, Zim starts selling at you, just say, I'm going to tell Miss Vicky on you. And he would stop. He would stop. Like, literally stop. I loved it.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, hey, I'm going to go tell Miss Vicky on you, Coach. You better stop yelling at me. And he would stop. And he would start laughing. And so he was like, look at that. I have so many stories about Zim. It's crazy.
We're going to have you back on a non-Cowboys week just to go through some of the Zimmer stuff. This is excellent.
Oh, man. Zim is my guy, man. Yeah.
Let's see here. So by my count, you played against the Vikings in games twice in your career, once in Minneapolis in 2004 and once in Dallas in 2007. Do you have any unique memories against the Vikings or with BMAC in general or anything you could share with the Minnesota crowd?
Your fans are rowdy. I love the Viking. I don't know if he's still there.
He is.
Is it the same gentleman?
Yes. What the heck is his name?
I think he's talking about Ragnar.
No, he's talking about the guy that face paints his whole face. And
Sid?
No, I'm talking about the big Viking guy.
Oh, yeah, well, probably Sid.
Well, there's Victor, like the cartoon.
No, like, he wasn't
he's
around.
The one I used to blow the big blowhorn and stuff.
Hold on, I'll pull this pick.
I think he's talking about Ragnar.
Yeah, I think so.
Ragnar just rolled the motorcycle.
Yeah, that gentleman. Didn't he used to run around the stadium and in the crowd and all that stuff?
He was the unofficial.
But not this guy?
No, not him. No.
Oh, not Sid. Okay. Well, he's the one that's on TV every day. With Randy Moss.
It's just because we played against Randy in Minnesota and we lost that game. And Randy had a solid game. I remember the whole game plan was like, just don't let Randy go off like he did when they played Dallas and had like, I think he had
Thanksgiving
four,
Day game,
four catches, four touchdowns, or something ridiculous. Yeah. So the whole game was like, just don't let Randy do that again. But no, I mean, you guys had a phenomenal family. So I would love to see the new stadium. I've been telling Zim that I wanted to come down for a game so I can see the new stadium.
He didn't send the invite for this weekend.
here's the deal. I have an open door policy. Like I just leaving the kids and my wife to go to a game. I mean, that's tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I should be create kids by yourself.
We totally get it.
Well, no. Me and B-Mac don't get it, but
hey, enjoy it, Miss Sally.
Nobody's gonna hold me and B-Mac down, okay?
We got the dogs.
You can have my pass then for the game.
All right, thank you. Well, speaking of that, I know you're doing sideline reporting, some broadcasting stuff. How are you liking that? And have you ever thought about doing coaching? Because maybe you could be assistant for Zim.
One, that's an old thing as far as me being sideline reporter. I did that in 2011. I haven't done that since. And being a coach, I don't, especially in college, I wouldn't want to be a coach because it's like you're literally putting your livelihood in an 18 to 21 year old's hands. Like, I can't do that. I don't like the return on that. So yeah. I can't do it. And I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for Big Mac, but I'm tired of, I mean, I'm not tired, but once I retired, I retire, you know, and I'm done. So having to go, like being a sideline reporter, you have to go back and film study and learn all these kids' names. And I don't want to do that. Like, I've been doing that ever since freaking high school. Like, I'm done. Like, it's
going to be a fan.
Much respect to the guys that are still doing it. Much respect to them. You know, I love the game. I love everything that it allotted me and was able to do, but I'm done. Like, I don't want to invest that time anymore.
So what are you up to then?
I'm a business owner.
Oh, cool.
I own a security company. when we I started that company in 2012, we started billing our first client in 2013. We had probably about 32 guards. We're probably licensed in 4 states. Now we're over 2,000 guards and we're in 32 states.
Wow.
And you're based in Texas?
No, we're based in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
We operate in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
All right, let's do our final questions, Ron. What do you have to round out the evening with Roy Williams?
All right, so my question, we had your former teammate, and we'll call him the other Roy Williams, on the show last year. And he had, you know, him being from Texas, you being from Oklahoma, obviously, like that rivalry's there. And he shared a story with us about how you guys got confused by, you know, different fans or whatnot. Do you have any interesting stories about that where just by the name, having the same name, like you're confused for him and someone saying, you know, go Horns or something to you, and it just kind of... You got to look at them like, that ain't me.
I would probably get in a fight if somebody said, go Horns to me.
That wasn't me saying go. I was
No. It's so crazy. Like, if you were to follow my Twitter, especially about like a year or two years ago, especially when the other Roy Williams, not Roy the receiver, but the coach. Like literally my app, if you looked at my avatar right now on Twitter, it's Roy Williams, the coach, his body with my head photoshopped on it because a fan made it for me. So I literally, see what I'm saying?
There it is.
So
my God.
Like, they confuse me, especially, and I'm like, dude, you are, and people were, they will say Tar Heel Faithful, all these things. And I'm like, if you're really a Tar Heel Faithful, have you really looked at my avatar and seen?
Right.
congratulating right now. And so it's just, yeah. So I get confused with the Roy, and Roy had his big ordeal when he sent his proposal ring in the mail. And so people were like, I was getting backlash for it because it was like, oh, there you go, sending some female a ring in the mail and she don't even want it. And now you're trying to get, I'm like,
wait, what?
Wrong one.
So the other one, the receiver, he sent a proposal ring in
like
the mail.
Like an engagement ring?
Like an engagement ring in the mail.
Had he proposed previously or this was the proposal?
I don't know the full story. You guys will probably get it back home.
Both of you guys on at the same time.
That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of my business. That's on that man.
We're going to have to line it up so you both come on and we'll have
to
receiver Roy. Roy can't say anything about the OU-Texas rivalry. He is 0-4 against OU.
Well, so how is it you get so invested in that and then I mentioned the Eagles and you're like, oh, those are my homies.
The Eagles? Who did I say was my homie at the Eagles?
I was insulting the NFC East outside of the Cowboys and you were like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, did you? I ain't paying attention. Sorry. Here's the deal. If people ask me what would I rather play, college or NFL, I would say college because it meant more in college. You know, you don't have different pay scales as the NFL that you do in college. Now probably is different now with the NIL, but
yeah,
back it just meant more in college. It just you appreciate the grind more in college than you do in the NFL because
more of a brotherhood too.
Yeah. Yeah. You have self-entitled people that, you know, you walk into a locker room, you got somebody making $15 million compared to somebody that's making league salary, you know, or the veteran minimum, you know, and it's just, there's a hierarchy there. You don't have that. Everybody's in the same grind trying to win the national championship. It's different in the NFL and people have different motives on why they're playing in the NFL.
So another Mac fact, in 2000, had Roy Williams and his team not beat Florida State, we would have shared the national championship with Florida State.
Yeah, that didn't happen, so why are you even talking about it? Bang, bang. You guys got him in 2001, Mac. Yeah. Roll with that, dude. Yeah.
On the topic of you getting lit up for Roy Williams mentions, I have a story, a recent one, but it's not as cool as yours because I'm not as cool as you. But I've been on Twitter for about 2 years, and all of a sudden, Dusty Baker made it to the World Series right now, and my name is Dustin Baker. So I've had about 4 messages congratulating me, and then I had about a dozen tweets that were congratulatory, and it was a weird phenomenon because I've always heard these stories like you and the Photoshop and whatnot, but I've never quite experienced it, and so you just kind of roll with it. You don't know how if you should play along and be funny.
You got to roll with it, man. Enjoy it.
Well, here, let's get somebody to put your head on Dusty Baker's body now.
There we go. There we go.
Let's do it.
Got to be classic.
Sally, what's your final thing for Roy or Bryant tonight?
I don't really have anything specific. I just we need to say hey to Shelly.
Hey, Michelle.
She just bumped in.
I'm just like, whoa, where did that come from?
Roy, do you know Shelly? Have you met her?
Shelly, the homie. You didn't know?
No, I'm trying to find out the background here, and Shelly, these guys just want to ask about
that's my mom in the background.
Shelly, the homie.
Shelly, come say hi.
I can't.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She sounds like the producer. Like in
she's
the
not
background.
Camera ready. She's not camera ready.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I understand. Well, yeah, I was just, I just want to know something embarrassing about Bryant, maybe that you can share.
No, I don't have any embarrassing.
What?
Oh, hold on.
I knew there was something.
No, there's not. But I can give my man straight props for putting it out there on his dance videos. Like when he's working out, I give mad props to that because the boy is moving and I'm inspired by it. Like, that's not even, I'm not even trying to cap. I'm giving props because it's like Big Mac. I mean, whoever he danced next to, he looked like he like 5'2". But I mean, Big Mac is getting it. I love it, dude. I mean, it makes me smile. And then his, I don't even know what it is. Yeah, whatever that little blue head is, dude. That is hilarious. I don't even know what it's called. Mac,
explain it.
But those are amazing. Like, dude, I got nothing but love for my guys, man. People that I mean, I'm just different. Like, I'm black and white. Like I keep it 100. Like if you if I fuck with you, I fuck with you. But if I don't, I don't. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I fuck with Mac. That's the homie. Regardless that he went to UW and all this other shit, whatever. That's my guy. Like, I mean, I got nothing but love for him. Like when he reached out to me and was like, yo, you mind doing a podcast? I was like, I got you, done. You know, it's just, I mean, it's just, it's love on site. So it's just, I don't got any stories. Yeah. I'm sorry. No,
I think the one thing that every person we've had on as a guest, or, you know, whether it be from Randy Moss to Troy Williams, and everyone, they all say the same thing about BMAC. And, you know, following his life on Instagram, he's a jack of all trades, whether it's the tennis, the working out, everything. So, but clearly he's got that personality. So it's good to hear, you know, another person say that as well, because we've all kind of seen that over the last year.
Side note, Brian, are you going to Baltimore and put the rumors to rest?
Yeah, on the 7th, right?
Yeah, well, the 6th, yeah, I think.
My mom's going too. She just told me.
There you go, Sally.
Well, I'm going to have to say hi to you guys because I'll be there. I got to see my queen, Shelly.
There you go. All right, to get you out of here, Roy, I've got one of Sally's dumb football questions. I need a week 8 Super Bowl prediction from you, Roy.
Week 8?
Yeah.
On the spot.
Yeah. Okay, Buffalo and Tampa Bay.
Ooh, okay. So you're going, okay, fair enough. All right, Roy. Well, if the Vikings make something of this season and we, you know, get all excited, I'm going to have you back, or we're going to have you back on, hopefully get some more of the Zimmer stuff out there, because you seem like you've got a pipeline to his brain, and we appreciate it, good sir.
I want to see Sally's sleeve. Let me see your sleeve.
Let's see it.
Well, I don't know. We have Minneapolis. It's hard to show it on here. A snow globe.
Okay.
Kind of see it. A locket. I do have a Viking up here, but it's kind of embarrassing. It's not a logo. It's like a Viking princess.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's kind of Viking.
I said they got to win a Super Bowl before I'll put that logo on my body.
Oh, gotcha.
I'll get one after that.
This February, then.
Yeah. That's what I'm saving this whole arm for, is that. So.
So, Roy, I do have one final question. You know, obviously, you follow OU. What's the story with Spencer Rattler? Has he torpedoed his NFL, prospects with everything? Or is that something he can rebound from and kind of get back to where he was preseason?
I'm sure he can rebound. But when you lose your starting job and the fashion that he lost it, I personally don't see him, unless, God forbid, Caleb getting hurt and then Rattler going back in. But in that Texas game, I was on the sideline. There was a power shift when Caleb came in and willed and led that team to victory. Like, they rallied behind Caleb. And when Spence, it's a different feeling when one quarterback is in compared to the other. And I'm not going to say good or bad. It's because, I mean, that's my school. But it's different when Spencer's in compared to when Caleb's in. Yeah. And, I mean, that's just worse. And it's tough. Think about it. He came in hot shit. Like, he was
TV show.
He was on the Heisman list. He was projected to go high in the draft and all these things. And then you play poorly, have some turnovers, and you get yanked. You get yanked in the same game you got yanked in the year before. You know what I mean? So and you didn't get to go back in, but one play for a 2-point conversion, and that was it. You ain't seen the field since. So, there's a strong possibility he may hit the portal next year, which I think is, and I say this, I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say this, but I think that's a punk move, because it's, when we were in school, it's like, play better or you don't get to see the field.
Right.
But now, if you lose your starting position, you can be like, I'm just going to hit the portal and go to a different school and try to become a starter somewhere else.
I hate that.
If that doesn't work, I go to another school. You know, that's whack to me, dude. Like, go.
It is.
Go earn it, dude. Go earn it.
So, yeah.
That's my – I'm off my
school. Just sorry.
All right, well, that's all we got for tonight. Thank you, Roy. We appreciate it. Any final words from you, sir?
No, I, you know what? I appreciate you guys having me on. I hope that you guys have a blessed evening and a blessed week and a month and the rest of the year. And I hope you guys have a great 2022. Ooh, and yeah. I love joy. Just, I hope you guys have nothing but joy in your life. I appreciate y'all for real. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining, Roy.
Yep, no that was problem. So nice. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
All right. That's all we got for tonight. And check out Halloween Night, Vikings and Cowboys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.